This is the Creative Sports Podcast. Today we're going to be celebrating women in sports here on International Women's Day. Tamara Brown will be taking over from here, and she is joined by Drew Jones, Sydney Sims, and Lorelei Ritzert. They talk about women who have inspired them, accessibility of women's sports, women in leadership, and breaking down assumptions.
All right, so weird request. I need everyone to open their browser and go to time.is. Is everyone there?
Yep.
Okay, at 7:03, I need everyone to clap.
What? I love this.
Mute myself. Uh-oh, froze for me. Oh, there we go.
The ball is about to drop.
Wait, what the hell? It went away.
Oh, just one clap.
Sorry.
Okay, 7:03 and 15 seconds.
Okay.
Oh, wait, it's not 7 for Drew. I forgot.
It's 4 for me. But that's fine.
Okay. The 30 this time.
Okay.
We got this.
There we go.
Okay. All right. Let's get started. Now, that was an interesting icebreaker. All right.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
Ladies, glad to have you on the Sports Creative Podcast as we celebrate Women's History Month and International Women's Day on March 8th. I would love to have you go around each in alphabetical order by last name, share your name, what you do, and either your favorite woman in sports or your favorite woman sports athlete.
I'm actually the first alphabetically first and last name here. So but my name is Drew Jones, and I am a content programmer at Bleacher Report. And let's see, there's so many women out there that I look up to, but I'll give you an athlete and a reporter that I admire. So Jessica Mendoza, she played softball at Stanford. So I followed her career starting there. And then also, well, she was an Olympic athlete. And now she is a broadcaster and does, you know, a lot of stuff for ESPN, as well as the Women's College World Series. I'm a huge softball fanatic, if you couldn't tell.
I'm Lorelei Ritzert, a graphic designer at Florida State. And my favorite, I don't think I can pick just one. I'm going to go with the team here. The U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. Just everything they've been doing on and off the field, I think, is really inspiring, especially for those younger athletes coming up.
Hi, I'm Sydney Sims. I run social media for Notre Dame football, and I would have to pick two women as well. One being an athlete, Serena Williams. She is the GOAT. Love her. I think she's handled everything with poise and class. And then Maria Taylor, because she is the queen, and I love how she carries herself and conducts herself. And she's just an inspiration to me, and I've been following her career since she's been at Georgia. So big fan.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with you on that one, Sydney. Big Maria Taylor fan. She's definitely been a huge mentor of mine. I really just love the way she carries herself, like whether she's on the sidelines, in the studio, or just completely not at work at all, but just helping the next generation in the community. She's amazing. Went out of order on that one, but I'm Tamara Brown. I work at the University of Miami, social media, video producer, host, reporter, just a little bit of everything, honestly. And then athlete-wise, big Arike Ogunbowale fan. Had the pleasure of working with her when she was at Notre Dame. And obviously now she's in the WNBA, just killing it. So big fan there. Go Irish. But now we're going to hop into this conversation. Again, so glad to have you all here. Would love to have you all briefly share why you got into working in sports and what you love so much about it. Let's start with you, Sydney.
Yeah, so I grew up in sports. My dad was, he is a collegiate football coach. And so I've always been around football. I love it. And it was always a matter of finding what I wanted to be. I like to talk a lot. So I was like, I want to be on air and I want to talk with the best of the best about it. And as I navigated this journey through the sports business, I picked up a lot of skill set, and I realized that I was good at social media and I got into it. And so I'm trying to combine my love for on-air talent and social media. And luckily Notre Dame football has given me a platform to do both. And so that's how I've gotten into sports.
Lorelai, what about you? You're a former athlete, so I assume that's part of it.
I grew up playing soccer. I played all through college. In high school, I thought I wanted to be a journalist, sports journalist. And then throughout college, I discovered like, oh, I can do like graphics and photography and like take that into the sports industry. And then from there, I just fell in love with everything. And to be able to like continue to be a part of sports, I think was huge because sports for me growing up kind of kept me sane through high school and college, I guess, and kept me on track. So I think just being able to take that love and passion into a career was just beyond for me.
True. Yeah, I also grew up an athlete as well, played softball and dabbled into golf and some other stuff as well. But softball was the main sport for me, and then went to college and I was the team manager for our team. But I actually went to college with every intention of getting into the medical field. I wanted to be a doctor and it just wasn't fulfilling. My classes weren't fulfilling for me. So I started writing for the newspaper and then it just became something that I needed to do, not so much wanted to do. And I just went down the rabbit hole and here I am.
No, I love that. So I'm a big Law and Order SVU person. And so initially I thought that I wanted to be a lawyer because I'm just obsessed with that show. And then come to find out that's not what I wanted to do. So it was actually, I can still remember to this day, I was on the sidelines cheerleading at a high school football game. And I would always be turned around watching the game and not actually doing any of the cheers. And finally, one of my teammates was like, you should work in sports in college. Like, you know, you should pursue that in college and then get a career in that. And I was like, like I never had thought about it until that point, but truly it never was actually paying attention to anything that was happening on the sidelines. I was always just watching the game. Cause I'm like, this is just a great opportunity to have like front row seats to a game, honestly. So that's how I got into this field and honestly never looked back. And now I can just truly just thank my teammate for the reason why I'm here right now. But we're celebrating Women's History Month. This will be posted on International Women's Day. Do you mind all going around and either sharing your favorite woman sporting event that you've covered or maybe one that you watched at home, but share your favorite memory and why, or maybe something that recently happened. It could be something that happened earlier in your career. Definitely looking forward to hearing your favorite moment and why.
Yeah. So last year I worked for the West Coast Conference and I was working at social media for them. So social media is a lot of fun for me too, Sid. It was really fun for me to be at the tournament, which it's funny that it's literally a year ago today, I was flying to Vegas for our basketball tournament, but, I never thought I would like women's basketball as much as I did while I was working for the West Coast Conference. And so during our championship game, Portland beat Gonzaga, and Gonzaga was ranked at the time. And Portland in the preseason poll was picked dead last, and they came back and they won the tournament, earning a berth to the NCAA tournament. And just to be a part of that atmosphere, to see how excited the girls were. It was the coach's first year with the team as well. So there was just like a lot around it that made it such a great experience. Unfortunately, they weren't able to play in the tournament because of the COVID-19 pandemic, but nonetheless, that tournament experience for them and I'm sure for everybody else around was really great.
Anyone else have a cool moment that they've even covered or watched on TV that's either a woman in sports event or just a female just killing it?
I can share one. 2 years ago, I was working at UC San Diego and we were hosting the first round of the Division II NCAA tournament. And unfortunately, we lost in the first round, but I still had to work the second round. And two girls I had grown up with, like down the street from me in Seattle, were on Azusa Pacific, who was playing. And they ended up winning, like hitting a buzzer beater at the end of the game to win, to go to the Elite Eight. And I just remember like watching them, like knowing them from when they were like little, and seeing how like excited they were and how like awesome that moment was for them was like, it was like super cool. And like the chances of them being there while I was working there is like one in a million, I feel like. So it was like a cool moment.
Yeah, I'll hop in. I would say I was covering a women's volleyball game at Pitt, and just watching their progression of, it was a new coaching staff and it was a very young team. And I was working at Pitt. And then about a couple years later, I was at Navy, and Navy made the NCAA tournament and it was at Pitt. And so to see the girls as freshmen to now juniors and seniors, and they were just absolutely killing it. And a lot of the girls I knew from high school when they were on the club team as well, because my sister played with them. So just seeing the evolution of these girls and just their tenacity and the poise that they both had, both teams had. It was a cool experience to see it from both angles with both different teams.
I love that. It's always great to see people that you saw as a kid and you see them play in college. I see guys that I watched play AAU basketball and now I'm like, they're the number one pick in the draft. What is happening? Like, they were like this little baby before. It's crazy. And it's like, we don't even have kids yet. I cannot even imagine what it's like when we have kids and watch them grow up, and it's crazy. But you've all shared your favorite memory, either covering a sporting event or watching one, regarding women in sports. Recently, we've seen women in sports coverage get a lot better, made some progress, not all the way there yet, but it's gotten better. Talk about what it's been like to see through the pandemic. And obviously we saw the WNBA on ESPN almost every single night. And we're seeing just a lot of eyeballs from, you know, men now really, really getting into the women in sport community. What do you like about how we've seen this evolve from 2020 into this year in 2021?
And hop on from a football aspect. I love seeing the amount of women that are in coaching positions at the NFL level. We saw that with the Buccaneers and their amazing females that are on the staff win a Super Bowl. I think it was very inspiring. I think a lot of coaches are now seeing the very important roles that women can play with the football team, whether it be support staff, coaching, strength and conditioning. So the evolution of women in more male dominant roles, I think, is absolutely phenomenal, and women can do anything that we put our minds into. And the Buccaneers coaching staff really proved that this year.
Yeah, I'll piggyback off of that. I think just seeing that, and like, because when I was a kid, obviously all of us, that wasn't something we would see all the time. So I think it's cool that like these young kids are going to be able to see like, oh, like I can coach football, or if Sarah Fuller can play football, I can play football. So I'm excited to see, especially with like Alex Morgan's new media company coming up, like how much that's going to change like the perspective for these younger athletes and like what they can actually do going forward.
So I actually watched A League of Their Own last night, and I take something away new every time I watch that movie. And what I took away this time was that people want to watch women's sports and they will watch women's sports. You know, yeah, in the beginning they didn't have as many fans, but you know, and obviously it's fiction based on a true story, but you know, towards the end they had fans, or the stands completely filled with fans, right? And so I think that people are game to watch women's sports, but they just have to be accessible. They have to be there. They have to be happening, you know? And so you have to get women in the room to be excited about women's sports, to bring that, you know, to the conversation and to your team meetings, like, hey, no, we need to cover this, and we need to cover it the same way we cover other stuff. So I think we're like on an upward trend here. And I'm really excited to see that, because every time I watch like Serena Williams, or, you know, just any other incredible female athlete, Sue Bird, Megan Rapinoe, I start crying. I don't know why. But people want to watch women's sports. They just have to be accessible for them to make it a big thing.
Two things. One, I 100% agree with what you said, Lorelai, because I was thinking, I'm like, could you imagine being in kindergarten? And I remember just like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Now the options are endless for women. Like, it's like, I can be a vice president, I can be a GM of a team, I can be a coach, I can play football. Like, now the options, I feel like, are endless for us, which is great. Because it's like, you know, I feel like, not to say we had like a box to fit in, but we didn't have these opportunities that are going to be available to this next generation coming in. And then Drew, you mentioned a huge thing. It's like, it's got to be accessible. It's got to be easy to find. It can't be on ACC Network Extra behind like 10 different walls. It has to be literally live so that everyone can see it, the same way it is for the men's sports. And I think starting with the WNBA, when we were able to all watch that at home because we were all in a pandemic, it's like it should have been like that all along, you know? So I'm really excited to see, one, we have the NCAA women's tournament coming up. I'm hoping that we'll get that same access and coverage going into that tournament as we will for the men. But I'm also hoping to see, continue to see women being hired in these positions that make decisions. Drew, you brought that up at the end. You know, what has been one of like the best hires you've seen so far as like women in leadership positions? Like, who do you look up to right now in that leadership role that recently got hired in the last 6 months or so?
I think right now I work with Olivia Mitchell, who is director for ops at Notre Dame, and she is young Black female, and she is killing it. I think she's the only woman of color in that role at a Division I level, and just watching her day to day, it is very inspiring. And I think she does a great job, and I expect big things from her. But that's someone that I like work with from a day to day, and I just watch kind of from the sideline, and she's doing an exceptional job, and she's opening a new channel for young women who are in kindergarten and first grade, or even in college and high school. Like, she, I really respect the work she does.
I like that, Sydney, because, well, one, I love Olivia, but like, two, I don't know many women in male, like, director of operations roles. Like, obviously you see them in admin assistant roles, but never as like the director of operations, like literally, essentially like the coach's like right-hand woman. I've never really seen that. Of course, you see them in like the recruiting office, and you see them in like other aspects, whether it's strength and conditioning or nutrition. But in that role, I don't know any outside of Olivia, like you said, or even Black women in general. I don't know any. Or even down here in Miami, it's like seeing Kim and G hired as like the GM of the Marlins. I was like, wow, huge. Like, I was just like mind blown. It's like great that we're able to see these things happen, but it is like just so exciting just to see these women in these rooms where decisions are being made. I feel like that's something that we need to be celebrating, not only this month for Women's History Month, but every single month. It should be about getting better every single month. It's like we should be adding more and more females into these leadership roles. We shouldn't be a room full of men making decisions. There should be women in these roles. And I think it's just so important for us to not just like be in the room to fit a quota or meet a diversity mark, but for us to just be there because it's right and it's normal for us to be there, you know?
You stole mine. I was going to say Kim. Well, I really, another aspect of the sports industry is, while, you know, women are underrepresented, people of color are underrepresented, but specifically the Asian American group is severely underrepresented in sports. So I'm really excited to see Kim in that role. And as well as that, I'm seeing a lot more Asian American women come into reporter roles too. So just wanted to toss that in there.
That's true. I mean, I've said that all the time. I think from the reporter standpoint in the NFL, the fact that there's only one Black female reporter, like team reporter, it's like, why? Like, there's only one. I had no idea. I didn't even realize that there was only one, but there's only one. And I mean, Kirsten Watson getting hired to cover baseball in LA, it's like, she's the only one I've seen. It's just, I'm hoping that in those areas that we get more of them so that it's going to become the new norm. Like Kimmy Check says it all the time. She's like, when I was growing up and I was watching the NFL and the NFL Network, I didn't see anyone that looked like me. And now I'm hoping that people can turn on the NFL Network and see MJ Acosta Ruiz and Kimmy Checks on TV. And they're like, I want to be that. I want to wear my natural hair. I want to work in these fields and know that like, this is where I belong. And then the graphic design space, Lorelai, I don't know many females in that space. What is it like for you being a female creative in kind of a very like male dominated space where I really probably can count on my hand how many female graphic designers that I know?
Yeah, there's not many. I think the one thing that like sticks out for me that's, it's kind of humorous at this point, but like I'll post a graphic or something on a team account and the comments will come in and be like, oh man, the guy who made this is so good. Like the dude who made this is so good. And I'm just sitting there like, oh, if you only knew, like, it's a female making it, like, they have no idea. And it's just kind of funny that that's just where their mind goes. But like you said, there's not many of us in doing these graphic design roles. But I mean, I've started to slowly meet more and more, like, having some, like, college kids, like, reach out, like, oh, like, I want to do this. Like, how did you get into it? So I think we're seeing more and more of that, which I think is, like, super cool.
And Sydney, I feel like the same thing probably happens for you. I feel like all the time I see people comment on accounts, like social media accounts, like, the guy running this account is so funny. And I'm like, but little do they know it's not a guy. Like, we shouldn't just always assume that.
It is hilarious how many times I get called a guy, an intern, especially when we were doing social injustice stuff. They're like, the white guy who's running this account. And it's like, nope, it's a Black woman. So it's a lot. I get that. I think it's hilarious. But yeah, no, there's, I've been called everything except for what I actually am, a woman.
No, yeah, we'll get DMs all the time that's like, excuse me, sir. And I'm like, okay, you don't know, but like, let's not do that.
No, I get that too. I feel like Lorelai is the very, like, you can kind of differentiate that, or, you know, at least Sydney with the Y. I don't know. I think you can kind of tell apart, or don't assume. That's the big thing. Say coach or whatever. But
exactly, yeah.
I feel y'all's pain. My name's Drew. So that's just.
Does that happen via email, where like, if they just assume that you're a guy, if your name comes through?
Yes, I get that a lot, actually. Mail, emails. When I first got hired at the WCC, our HR person addressed my offer letter as Mr. because they didn't obviously do enough research as to who I was within the department I was joining. I definitely get that a lot. And it's really frustrating because I feel like there's a lot of, I'm going to say ambiguous names, you know what I mean? Like, they can either be for anybody, if you will. And I, you know, we just can't make the assumption just by, oh, well, this kind of sounds like a female name. Like, why do we have to put names in gender role boxes? I don't know.
Very, very good point.
I more so get the mispronunciation, or today someone called me Tamar. And just the A was missing. That was a new one. Today was a new one. Usually I just get like Tamara or Tamara or just a lot of variations of that. But today was a new one. I was like, oh, that's not my name, but I'm not going to correct it. I'll wait till I meet this person, because I just, you know, don't want to come off extra via email.
I feel you.
But enough about my name craziness. We've talked about how we've gotten to the business, our favorite things that we've watched or covered, some women that we look up to, but do you have a shout out that you would love to give a woman in sport, or a woman student athlete, or a woman professional athlete? As we celebrate Women's History Month, do you have someone that you would love to shout out for the work that they're doing that maybe is underlooked, or they just haven't gotten enough recognition for what they're doing in the community?
I can start. Again, shout out a group of people. I'm gonna shout out our entire like Social Plus at Learfield, like all the women that are part of that. I think when I first started, there's a decent amount of women, but we've slowly begun to like add them. And I think it's really cool, the community we've built. Like, we all have each other's backs. We have, the guys don't know this, but we have like a little group message without them. And like, we just like talk about like what the struggles that are happening and like what it's like being a woman in sports. And I think each one of them is like extremely talented, and I don't think they get enough recognition for that. And maybe they don't want that, but like, I want to give that to them because they're all extremely, extremely talented.
Girl groups are so important. Girl chats are so important. Like, I did not realize that until the pandemic came around. Needed more of those. Galvanize, for example, is one of the best things to come out of 2020. Like, Laura Oakman just cannot clap it up enough for like that. Like, that community is just so great. Obviously, how I met Drew. Connected with Sydney through that, but I think we were already following each other. But just a great community of women in sport that has truly just been so supportive and helpful, and truly a sisterhood through like everything that happened in 2020, even to now. Like, the love has not stopped. And then in addition to that too, I joined a seat at the table, which is a community of women in sport that are built to help the next generation of women in sport. And I just feel like there are just so many of those groups, whether it be Galvanizer or See the Table, that have thrived in 2020 and are still going into 2021. And I'm just so thankful for those types of support groups. So thank you, Lorelai, for bringing that up. Those are A1, much needed.
We're here to stay.
I love that. I have to second that. Galvanize has been amazing. I love the group chats that I'm in and just the women. I love the fact that it's just diverse and it doesn't matter who and what you are. Like, they're going to love you. They're going to support you and they're going to uplift you. And I just find that very empowering. And that's what the true meaning of women supporting women is. And so I would definitely like to shout them out. Another girl group that I'm a part of is the Notre Dame Football Communication Squad. Katie Lonergan, who just came to KU the same time as me, and she leads the charge. She is an amazing SID. You don't see a lot of females in that role, especially head SIDs, and she is phenomenal. Claire Kramer, she is with football comms as well. I work with her day to day. And Emily Reagan, who does video for Notre Dame football. She is amazing. And once again, that's a very male dominated role, as you probably know. So both phenomenal women, they inspire me day in and day out, and kudos to them.
I'm casually going to just shout out a whole sport. It's fine, but I really appreciate seeing the work that Athletes Unlimited does, especially for softball. And Highlight Her, if you guys don't follow Highlight Her within Bleacher Report, I love Ari Chambers. So yeah, let me just shout out a bunch of people right now. Why not? but specifically, you know, within softball and some other women's sports, like there's a ceiling, right? Like you can only play in college, or, you know, if you want to play professionally, you have to go overseas. And like, there's just not as many opportunities and this, that, and third, if you're not the best of the best. And it's like, what if you still have something to give after college? What if you have the skill to be a professional athlete, but, you know, maybe you didn't make the 18 woman roster, what have you. So I really like seeing a lot of the professional athletes coming together within Athletes Unlimited specifically. And I hope to see more coming from softball in the future.
I love this. See, women shouting out other women. We're here to support each other. And that brings up my last point as we get ready to close here at this great conversation that we have celebrating women. But do each of you have a small piece of advice to share the next generation who may be listening to this podcast as we celebrate women, as we encourage women, as we want to help the next generation and to help them know that everyone has a seat at the table? There's room for all of us. Pull up a chair, bring your own chair. If someone doesn't invite you, like, you don't have to wait for an invitation to be here. As you mentioned, you know, there's a ceiling and there's a box, and we're trying to get rid of all of that. We're trying to shatter glass ceilings. We're trying to get out of the box, think out of the box, and just truly make room for everyone in every single sport that we can. I guess just share a piece of advice as we hope to encourage Women's History Month, not just to be a month, but just a year-long celebration of us and the things that we're doing and the things that we are just accomplishing left and right.
I'll start. You know, I went to University of Pacific. That was my university where I got my bachelor's degree before going to USC. And at Pacific specifically, there wasn't a lot of opportunities like within my career goals. You know, I was like, oh, okay, well, I want to get in sports. I like reporting. SID stuff's kind of fun too. But there wasn't opportunities for students there. And so my advice is, if you're at a university or getting ready to go to a university where the opportunities don't necessarily align with like what you actually want to do, then create them. You know, how can you gain experience, not necessarily at an internship, but just within your school, that can, you know, forge new skills and experiences that can help you get to that next level? And obviously networking and making relationships and bridging those gaps and, you know, what have you, as far as like getting to know people people and who you know is really going to get you to where you want to go. But also, you got to create those opportunities yourself.
We're kind of piggyback off of that, because I too went to a smaller school where there wasn't too many opportunities. And I think the biggest thing for me is just to like not compare your journey to somebody else's journey. Like, we're all coming up from very different backgrounds and different timing and stuff. Like, Just because X, Y, and Z person went to the big name university doesn't mean you can't have that same opportunity and that same skill set as they do.
Yeah, I would say when you walk into a room, own it and know that you belong there. Lean on your teammates, lean on other women in sports, and kind of just create an allyship. I would hold people accountable. If you see someone doing something, if you get out of that situation, warn others of that so they don't go into a toxic work environment, as women sometimes were subjected to things, and stand by what is right and call things out. That's the only way there's going to be change. And, you know, lean on your sisters. If something is going wrong, lean on them, grow with them. And it's not a competition. A lot of times people like to pit women against each other. No, build each other up together. And once we do that, there's nothing that can stop us, as we're starting to see.
Y'all took everything. So I don't know if there's any much to add, but I'll add a little bit to each, I guess. Drew, I love that you mentioned to create your opportunities, because I feel like there are so many students who will come to you saying, I can't find the job that I'm looking for, or I'm looking and I can't find it. Applying to jobs is a full-time job. Like, it's not just something that you can do one day. I think I applied probably for like 15 months before I found the job at Notre Dame and got it. Like, it took time. And in the meantime, I found like high school sports to go cover for free just to get practice. So like you mentioned, Drew, it's like I spent 15 months just covering it for free just so I can get practice, even though I wasn't employed by anybody. I didn't have a job, but I made it. I made it. Like, we see people all the time now creating podcasts and Instagram TV shows and doing whatever they can to build their portfolio in the meantime. So I think with the platforms that we have now, like, there's really no excuse, just create your own. And then Lorelai make up a great point. I tell people all the time, don't look at people's highlight reels on Instagram and assume that they've got it made and they've got this great career and life happening, because if you look at mine, you would not know that I was unemployed twice. So it's like, know that we all have our failures and our obstacles and our just tragic moments too. Like, we're not perfect. And so it's just a bad idea to compare yourself to other people. It's just not great. And Sydney, owning the room and not comparing yourself, but building each other up is amazing. I think that when we work together, literally teamwork makes the dream work. We can truly make miracles happen for the women in sport community. So I hope that we can continue to celebrate, encourage, lift up, and, you know, motivate the next generation of women in sport, and also celebrate the success that we are having right here, right now. And I'm so glad that all of you were able to join us on this podcast and share some of your experiences, highlight some people, shout out some people, and give some great advice for everyone, including the next generation of women in sport and the ones that are working in this now. If you're listening to this and you were wondering about Galvanize, Google it, look it up, follow it. There's some great Black Galvanize subscriptions that you can sign up for. I get the email every month and it's fabulous. Follow Seat at the Table. You like literally find your girl group at work, find them. There's tons of communities online. DM all of us. We will share our handles on here for sure, probably in the notes section of this podcast. But thanks for listening. And ladies, thanks for joining the Sports Creative Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Ladies night.
I said cheers, like, but didn't bring a water or anything. So
here's my chat.
Oh!
Coke, that's not Coke.
I see you with the reusable straw over there.
You know, we are conscious about the environment over here.
Oh my God. I love it.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions. So pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.